There you are.
Me.
Get a nice little birthday present.
Yeah. Brandon Cook gave it to me.
Oh. You
Wait,
sure it was just.
I
Yeah.
Sometimes something beautiful happens in this world. You don't know how to express yourself, so you just gotta sing.
I just had to sing. A girl let me do it, it literally just happened. Having sex can make a nice man out the meanest.
Never guess where I just came from, I had sex. If I had to describe the feeling, it was the best. When I had the sex, man, my penis felt great. And I called my parents right after I was done.
Oh, hey, didn't see you there, guess what I just did. Had sex, undressed, saw her boobies and the rest.
Was sure nice of her to let you do that thing.
Nice of any girl ever.
Now sing.
I just had sex.
What's up, Hoodad Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 6.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it's preseason, and it's my birthday, so I've been drinking. Went to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the game because I didn't get it here at the house. But it was okay because we had a good time. A lot of Saints fans, and actually saw a few people with LSU shirts.
Fuck them. LSU's not playing today.
Nope, but they wore their shirts.
Of course.
And then I saw a lot of people that weren't wearing anything. They were at Buffalo Wild Wings to watch.
Wait.
Game.
Not wearing it? They were naked?
Yeah, it was just weird. Just really weird. But no, yeah, they were wearing just regular clothes and not sports themed at all. And I'm like, you're at Buffalo Wild Wings for a Saints preseason game. Why are you not? I mean, and it's the first Saints action that we've got, and you didn't do. Anyway, I digress.
It's probably because they're Cowboy fans. Cowboys
yeah,
played last
maybe
night.
Maybe that's what it is. But anyway, the Saints have finally beaten the fucking Rams. Yeah, and sure, it's preseason, but damn it. It just seemed like that. The Rams were the only team besides the Seahawks that we just couldn't overcome. And tonight, we are recording post-game, but tonight has proven that this year all bets are off. And that Brandon Cooks is for real.
Cooks boner.
And that Mark Ingram might just be ready to play in the NFL.
Oh, I think you got a little nickname for old Ingram.
Yeah, zippity-doo-dah. Put your seatbelt on. put your seatbelts on and keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I did drink a little bit during the preseason because, of course, it's the preseason. And I would say I am a 5.1.
All right. 5.1. Good job.
I'm trying to get into the swing of drinking during Saints games and checking Saints Twitter and stuff. Like, I missed it. It was a great night tonight. Even though it was just preseason,
mm-hmm.
It was a good night. I found myself a little, for some reason, more invested in the game. Like, when the third quarter was on, I was still paying attention and still, like, kind of cared about the game, which is a far cry from every other preseason.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure exactly why. Maybe just because there's still had some backups
Brandon
and rookies.
Cooks was still there, yeah.
Hey, the Cooks boner thrives in the third quarter of the preseason.
The Cooks boner lasted a really long time.
It did, without Viagra.
Yeah.
For some reason.
There you go. All right, Damon, yeah. Welcome to the show. Do you have a number for us? I thought he joined.
He did. He dropped out. He's probably on the spillway.
Oh, all right.
There's no internet out in the swamp.
All right, well, we'll just carry on without Damon.
He'll
okay, So for the returning fans, you're going to love what's about to happen. For the new listeners, since the one that we picked up in the off season, this will be your first time experiencing a little segment we like to call Game Recap.
I'm not sure going to let me stay in.
That's what she...
What did he say? Or what'd you say? Are you on Bluetooth or are you on your phone? And he's gone. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to...
More edit room for you.
Just wait till you get home. Just don't even try calling back. Just wait till you get home.
Yeah, at least when I call in from the car... It works.
I'll give you that.
It may not sound great, but it fucking works.
It doesn't cut in and out.
Okay, so game recap. I guess the first thing we should talk about is Mark Ingram, since he was the first one to touch the ball. I mean, besides Luke McCown.
Or Lolito.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Who did good as well. Both of them did well. But let's talk about Ingram. I mean, the guy ran really well, and instead of what we used to call him, old 2.3?
Right, 2.3 in a cloud of dust. That's his.
Yeah.
Or 3.2 or 3.1, whatever it is.
Right. Now, he was 83 yards on 8 carries. That's a 10.4 yard per carry with a touchdown.
Pretty solid. Now, people will say it's preseason and he's going against some backup defenders. He did go up, you know, the first drive, he got a majority of the carries, went up against their first team defense, but he was also playing behind two backup guards.
Mm-hmm. Backup.
It was interesting that...
But not just that, but look at the offensive line, and not just him, but the offense, I mean, he did well because there were gaping holes for him to run through.
Line played all right, and it was interesting, they ran to the left, they ran behind Armstead a lot. Mm-hmm. Armstead was...
something we never could have done before with Charles Brown.
Well, right now with Charles Brown, but Armstead held his ground. Armstead played a good game from what we saw. Don't have the film. I'm not an expert, but they ran behind him and there were holes opened up. And it's good. He's running hard. And then Kyrie came in and even Kyrie ran.
Yeah.
Very well. I mean, 5 for 20. Not a lot of carries, but 4.6. A carry, and he got the touchdown, too. I mean, both Ingram and Robinson had touchdowns. That Ingram touchdown was nice.
Yeah.
Nice cut.
No. Yeah, was that the play that I called him zippy? Or the
Probably.
Play before that? It was
the play before that, he looked zippy, and on that one, he was super zippy.
It happened on one of them zippity-doo-dah days. Now, that's the kind of day when you can't open your mouth without a song jump right out of it. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay.
Because when I first was watching it, I didn't think it was Ingram. I'm like, is that Sproles?
Well, now, I mean, at that point, it definitely was backup defenders.
Yeah. Well, but and even so, it's not even about it's about the defense. It was about how light he was on his feet, yet also powerful. You know what I don't know. He looked like college Mark Ingram. I mean, if this is what we're going to get, backups, starters, whatever, the guy is going to, I mean, I think 4 or 5 yards per carry every game.
Well,
you know, on average.
I mean, it's hoping so, assuming that we get the two starting guards back. And, I mean, Robinson ran, like I said, both Ingram and Robinson both ran well. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Good sign.
And that's
it'll be a nice
your line, right?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a nice little mix. But it was encouraging. And they, you know, again, it's preseason, but just found myself wanting to see how, you know, what kind of what they were going to do, how they were going to perform. Certain guys, certain young guys too, we're going to be relying. I mean, we're going to be relying a lot on Armstead. It was good to see him play and play well early on.
Yeah.
He was in the-
and then Luke McCown versus Ryan Griffin. And not that you got a lot of Luke.
I think they both proved that it's going to suck if Breeze gets hurt. It's really going to be bad. So
see now, I mean, I get where you say that, but I also look at it like, even though I thought they did decent, I mean,
they did move the ball fairly well.
Yeah.
But, you know, Griffin had his...
That's just the Sean Payton offense.
Well, right. I mean, McCown had the pick, and then, you know, Griffin hit some throws, missed a couple others.
But if McCown doesn't have the pick, who knows, you know?
Oh, but he did.
Well, I know, but... Well, I guess you're right. Like, Drew Brees would not have, like, tried to dart the ball right there. He would have gone over the guy's head.
Well, he wouldn't have been able to see over his head, so you never know. Brees hasn't been... exempt from making bad passes, but I mean, if he's, I mean, obviously we expect him, he'll be ready, and, you know, knock on wood, hopefully he should be fine. But if for some reason he does get hurt, yeah, it's going to be, might be a little rough go at, of it.
Oh, then you can pretty much.
But I mean, you can say that about Peyton Manning and about Brady and Rodgers, and, you know.
Well, yeah, look what happened to Green Bay last year when Rodgers got hurt.
Right.
Which is an interesting thing, a little sidebar there, that everybody is talking about Seattle and the Saints and San Francisco, but no one's talking about Green Bay. Like, don't count them out.
As long as they get Rodgers, they'll be decent, and their division isn't great.
Yep.
But, I mean, their defense is their, you know, their problem spot.
Yep. Now, what'd you think of Kadett tonight?
He did okay. He caught a couple screens. A return game left a little to be desired still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. He played okay. I mean, he didn't lose his spot or anything. He's definitely going to make the team. I guess maybe you would like to see a little better return action. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe our special teams hasn't been good for a while, and maybe it's just coaching.
That's what Damon said about a year and a half ago, I think. I mean,
we've all mentioned our lack of fondness for Greg McMahon, so.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the new Gary Gibbs.
You mean Barry Gibbs?
Right.
Then you can play a little
Did you think that I'm a bad defensive coordinator?
You don't have to play with the kids.
Right, I could just leave that.
Just leave that.
That's funny.
That's awesome. Oh, all right, so your boy Nick Toon, that you think is going to make the team... He had three catches for 11 yards.
And nothing spectacular. He missed a block or two, but he didn't really drop any passes, I don't think. I mean, I missed some parts of the game. I was cooking, but for the most part, I didn't see him.
Yeah.
He did make a mistake, but with, you know, Brandon Coleman didn't have a great game. He had one drop, and then he had another drop bounce off his helmet lead to an interception. So pretty up and down for him. To go from shit in OTAs, he's been incredibly better in training camp, and then this game
wasn't.
That's
the kind of stuff that gets you...
Right, it gets you cut. I mean, this wasn't a good...
And then Atlanta picks you up.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that they'll cut him.
Watson was on the team.
Wait, what?
Didn't Ben Watson on the team?
He had a good catch early in the game.
Yeah, I forgot about him. I thought he had retired or something.
He shouldn't. He's solid.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so that's why I'm bringing him up.
Yeah, we had. I was surprised that, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be, but Jimmy played the first couple series. You know, Colston played a couple series.
Yeah, Jimmy looked good. Who was, all right, so who, for a while, I thought it was Jimmy the first time.
Josh Hill.
Was it Josh Hill that had the big rumbling
Josh Hill.
Run?
Yep. Yep.
That almost scored a touchdown. Wow. Yep. I think Mike Triplett tweeted, is Josh Hill a receiver or a tight end? You know?
He looks a lot better when you throw it to him and don't give it to him on a reverse. Tends to work better.
Yeah. But he was our leading receiver in yardage.
Right. He played solidly, didn't lose his position. I think a lot of people assumed he'll be our third tight end. I don't think any of the undrafted guys will.
Third? Why not second?
Ben Watson, bitch.
Okay, but
no,
Ben Watson is old and moldy.
Ben Watson's better than Josh Hill.
Okay. He was in his prime, but is he still...
I think he is.
All right. because, I don't know, Josh Hill had 2 catches for 67 and Ben Watson had 1 for 10.
It's preseason.
And Josh, well, all right.
Josh Hill got the playing time because Jimmy Graham didn't play.
All right. Well, you know, speaking after... of players that are not going to make the team, Shane Graham.
Ooh. Interesting
what
game for him.
What the fuck was that?
Well, he made the first field goal. Oh, 37.
This team did... is this, no, this a Super Bowl team does not have a kicker who misses extra points.
Right, but it's the 2 week experiment. They're moving it back. It was a 32-33 yard field goal, whatever it is, and he missed it. But in the regular season, it's going to be in this normal spot.
But all right, you can't make a 33-yarder. I don't care if it's a field goal or an extra point. I mean, I need a guy who can make 40 easy.
Okay. I mean, I agree. And they were kicking on a carpet in a dome. It's optimal condition. But apparently
he kicks 8 games out of the year, carpet in a dome.
Apparently the trainers took him off towards the end of the game into the locker room. That's when Dimke started kicking him. Dimke didn't miss, but we'll see.
Just saying.
I don't have a preference for either guy at this point. So, I mean, Dinky will be able to make longer kicks. But obviously, Graham's got the history of dealing with, you know, pressure kicks. And
yeah.
So.
Oh, your boy Flanders had a catch.
And a run. Oh, a catch and a run. How about that?
Ned Flanders, yeah, 3 yards Oakley. Running and
right.
9 yards on the catch.
Right. Okay.
That might even be a first down.
It might be, rather.
If it was a 2nd and 9 or something like that.
Of course, we got to talk about our boy Cooks. My boy.
Cooks. Yeah, I was trying to save it till Damon got here. But yeah.
No, Damon, I have the Cooks boner. He doesn't.
All right. So go ahead, unleash your load.
It took him. It was a slow start to the game. After watching the first quarter, when you texted, hey, all right, Griffin's coming in. I'm like, fuck Griffin, I want to see Cooks. Because Cooks hadn't got a lot of playing time up to that point. Started with a couple of small catches, but then he had the touchdown catch where he caught it and he just stopped on a dime, cut the one way. The defender had zero shot. And he made it look easy. Like, it almost wasn't, like, once he made the cut and then dashed towards the end zone, it was like he wasn't even trying. It was wild. It was wild to watch. But
I regret at that time I was listening on the radio. I didn't get to see it.
It was pretty fantastic. He just caught it and then just completely changed direction and made the defensive back just totally whiff. I'm telling you, man. He had 5 catches, 55 yards, I think. Touchdown.
Here? No, yeah, 5, 55.
Yeah, very.
And that was a 25-yard touchdown.
Hey, look, it's... Daniel, I love the kid. He is legit. Which brings me to my fucking jersey issue.
Yeah.
The fact that they don't make a white Cooks jersey, which is what I wanted. All they have is the black one.
What goes into that? I mean, why would they not make one of each?
They should. I mean, I don't know. It's the fucking NFL. Who knows? But, I mean, going on and looking at the jerseys, there aren't a lot of white jerseys even available. So the question becomes, if I want a white Cooks jersey, I have to get a personalized one and just do Cooks in 10, which is 150. Or I could get a black Cooks jersey for just 100, but I wanted a white one. I don't want a black one. Or if I really want a white jersey, the only other one I'd get is Vaccaro. So do I save the $50 and take Vaccaro, or do I just splurge on the 50 and go for a white Cooks?
I think you just buy a black Cooks jersey and stop being so nitpicky.
I know it's a weird thing, but I have one black and one white one. My white one's Colston. My black one's Breeze, but I think Breeze is going to be a Saint longer than Colston, so I'm always going to have the black jersey, so I'd like to have the white jersey to wear when it's hot.
I hear what you're saying.
But now maybe I could just wait on if I want to just say fuck it, I'll just get a white Cooks next year when it's available.
There's nothing wrong with it. Jersey either. I know you want your Cooks boner. Satisfied, but maybe you wait.
Maybe I do. I don't know. It's a decision I'm going to have to make over the next couple of weeks.
All right, let's talk about defense. What I mean...
Tyron Walker had a good game.
Yeah.
No, he had a sack. Very disruptive.
Led the team in tackles.
It seems like we have a lot of depth along the defensive line.
Yeah. What about the linebackers? I kind of feel like
we did give up we gave up a few touchdowns. Linebackers played, I guess, okay. I mean, I don't know that the Rams did have a decent amount of rushing yards. So,
mm-hmm. And I didn't even notice the three safety deal. I know we talked about that. I didn't catch it. Did you notice if we lined three safeties up?
I wasn't even paying attention. I mean, it's very. Yeah. I'm sure we did, but I just wasn't paying attention.
I'm just wondering if they're not going to do a whole lot of that and show a lot of film. You know, you're not going to put anything on film in preseason.
It's preseason. It's preseason,
right? You know, and preseason. It's more trying to see what certain guys do in certain situations.
I still subscribe
to the theory that when in preseason, sometimes the coaches will meet beforehand and be like, "Hey, look, man, I want to see what this guy can do." So. I think they kind of work together. It's almost treated like a scrimmage.
Probably not this game according to the media, because of Greg Williams.
No, the media, because they know everything.
Right, of course they do.
Speaking of Greg Williams, the guy put some Just for Men in his goatee there?
It was like his little disguise. He's trying to, his little mustache and glasses. Nobody will recognize me if I color my beard black.
Yeah.
I'm not Greg Williams, I'm Gary Williams.
No, you mean Barry Williams.
Am I a good defensive coordinator?
No, sir, I didn't like it.
I was trying to be the Justin Timberlake to you, Jimmy Fallon.
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
I don't think they really showed Williams a lot during the broadcast.
I didn't see him.
They were just kind of like, yeah. Even the TV cover was like, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. Let's just not show Greg Williams.
Yeah.
They did.
So. I did. All right, because I was at Buffalo
Wild Wings.
Yeah, because I was at Buffalo Wild Wings, I didn't get to hear very much what they were saying on coverage, but. How did Michael Sams play?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to him.
Okay. And so everyone who thought that this was going to be some big monumental occasion, nope, just another football player.
Yeah, but maybe if you asked Matt that question, he might say something a little different.
Okay, well, Matt.
But Matt probably didn't even watch the game anyway, so.
Matt, what did you think? Tweet us. Tell us.
That doesn't listen.
All right. So speaking of defense.
Oh.
I'm going to come across as though I'm attacking this guy episode after episode, and I'm not.
Yes, but you are.
Stanley Jean-Baptiste.
I thought you said you hadn't heard anything about Jean-Baptiste.
Well, I heard, and finally tonight, and what I heard ain't good. He let up a touchdown, huh?
He had a bad play. He was with the guy. He just didn't. He didn't turn around to look for the ball. All
right.
I mean, it was a bad play. Kind of a rookie mistake kind of thing. So it's
now
way
let's
too
make
early.
Sure that he doesn't make that mistake again.
Well, of course, But he's going to have his growing pains. He still only played defensive back 2 years, 3 years maybe. So he's still learning the position.
Okay.
So it's going to take. It's going to take time with him.
All right, and he's not under pressure, like we said.
Right.
Corey White, I'm going to say I didn't hear any bad news.
Bad things about him, did you?
That's right. So,
uh-huh.
Oh, did he play?
He did play. He played. Okay. He played a lot at
I didn't hear. I didn't hear anything bad about Corey White. Are you sure he played?
for cornerbacks, no. For cornerbacks, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Mm-hmm. So. But you see what I did there.
Oh, yeah. You hate Corey White. You'll do anything in your power to disparage Corey White.
I do, but I will say I'm not above admitting when I'm wrong. So what I really want is for Corey White to make me apologize, like make me a believer. So that's my challenge. That's why I'm on him so hard is I want him to prove me wrong. Nothing I want more than that. And I was listening to a Rob Ryan interview earlier this week, and he himself said that he believes in Corey White. And he says Corey White, and I quote, is what they consider an ascending player. And so...
Yeah, because he's second year? Third year?
I take it as he was so bad that he has only up to go, but yeah.
But I'm taking it as he's so young that, I mean, he's right. He's only going to get better. He's not going to get worse.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right, but it's yeah. funnier the way I take it.
Well, right, so you hate to the guy, so you know.
So I'm just going to put it out there. I don't want to hate Corey White. I just need him to give me a reason to love him. And according to Rob, you know what's working for you, Corey? You got Rob Ryan vouching for you. And I got to trust the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier.
He's not Steve Spurrier. He's not Frank White. Why are you trusting Steve Spurrier? Steve Spurrier failed miserably in the NFL.
Oh, he did. I got to trust the belly.
You're right. You got to trust the big fucking belly.
The big belly and the long gray hair.
But even Renee was saying, at some point, does he need to start going on a diet to make sure he doesn't have a heart attack?
I don't think he's got to worry about a heart attack. I'm worried about his stomach exploding.
It's not like there's an alien baby waiting to pop out.
Are you sure?
Oh, good point.
But he looks bigger. He looks bigger.
He definitely looks bigger since he's been here.
Yeah.
He is definitely bigger, no doubt. Hey, what can you say? He likes the food.
He likes Nacho Mama.
Right. He's not running to work off those all the fried food and
yeah. So that I don't know how we went from game recap to Rob Ryan's diet, but
hey, it's the way that's what he does.
Okay. Anything else about the game? We went through player by player. What about the flow of the game? I mean, okay, so
a lot of defensive penalties.
Had a good drive. Okay,
but that's been the case. The NFL. Putting an emphasis now, on defensive holding and pass interference and
more offense.
Which, I mean, we've been one of
the Seattle Seahawks ruined it for everyone.
Oh yeah. So there's a lot. There's been a lot more defensive penalties called. A lot more have been called in week one of the preseason so far.
Mm-hmm. But although they have a zero tolerance on that 5 yards. Like there's no contact after 5 yards. And they have zero tolerance on that this year.
It's going to sting the defense at first a little because they got to get used to it. But our offense our offense should only get better now. Like if Jimmy Graham can't get mugged by a fucking cornerback, we've been the best offense since 06.
Well, that's
our offense will get better.
Exactly.
So it'll kind of counterbalance itself.
And we had a few good defensive plays too, as far as knocking balls out and.
A couple, and their first touchdown was off the interception, right.
That's short field.
Pierre Warren needed to grab that pick, though, an interception.
Yeah, speaking of Pierre Warren, saw his number a couple of times. Because you recognize it because it's 42. But
no, you do because you still have the 42 jersey. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I do. Maybe I can scratch out sharper and just put Warren on it.
Yeah, sure. You do that.
You know what? I wore my Raphael Bush jersey tonight.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah, he played a lot.
I'll bet you there's a lot of those schmucks in that Buffalo Wild Wings that were like, why is that guy wearing a Reggie Bush jersey?
Right, because they're Cowboy fans. They don't know any better.
Even my kids, they were like, you're wearing Reggie Bush? I'm like, no, I'm wearing Raphael Bush. Get with it.
It ain't 2009 anymore. Stop living in the past.
That's right.
Just tell your kids, hey, stop living in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be like, you first, Dad.
Right. You burn your sharper jersey, and then we'll stop calling him Reggie. Start calling him. Right.
But, I thought we were on a good drive. I thought Luke McCown was precise. He was hitting his targets. We were running well. Like, that drive was destined to be a touchdown or at least a field goal, and then the interception. But then, and the defense did that. We couldn't stop them, and there was a few drives where I felt like some missed opportunities as far as stopping them and stalling them.
A couple, yeah. And the touchdown, first touchdown was a blown play, blown coverage. There was nobody near them. But again, it's preseason. First game is always the worst because it's the first. Game action against somebody else.
Yeah.
Usually second and third game, they kind of start tightening stuff up. So.
All right, there you go.
It's fine. I'm encouraged. I mean, the offense moved the ball fairly easily without Breeze in there, so.
and without the two starting guards.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
That was our big point about Ingram, saying, yeah, he played against some backup defenders, but he ran behind a patch, you know, two backup guards.
Right. No, look, I thought the running game, I liked how he ran. He looked confident to me. He looked more natural.
Would you say zippy?
Zippy? Yeah, I guess. But again, he ran... Well, I don't know, with purpose, again, more confidence is...
Passion, purpose, pride.
Well, confidence. I mean, it looks like he wasn't hesitating. He wasn't looking for holes. Boom, you hit it and get it, man. That's what it takes.
You hit it and get it.
He played inspired, and he's been playing like... He's been getting there, I think, mentally. Yeah, I'm loving it.
And I thought this during the game... When they were talking about Drew Brees and his fourth 5,000-yard passing, and we love that we have that option and has won us lots of games, but always when we are more successful is when, you know, less Drew, more running. And that's just because you can control the game and the clock easier when you can run the ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, and you pull the defense up a little bit. And,
right.
And then you go over their heads. Anytime you want.
Right. Then you're like, oh, y'all thought we were going to run? Oh, I just threw out my cook's boner at y'all.
Yeah, that's football 101. I mean...
Right, exactly. Nothing revolutionary with that statement, but it works. It how it, you know, yeah. How it's done, so...
Like you said, the beauty was him, how he ran. I mean, where was Pierre Thomas tonight that
didn't play? He wasn't dressed out. He was just there... He might either be nicked up for some reason, or they're just resting him. Either way,
okay.
I don't know.
No need to run him.
Yeah, there's. I mean, we know what Pierre is. He could not play any preseason games, and it won't matter because we got Ingram and Kyrie.
Okay, so yeah, Damon, we were actually finished the game recap. So if you had any just kind of thoughts you wanted to throw out there before we moved on to our second and final segment of the show.
I mean, nothing really. Except, I mean, I'm sure y'all covered the running game, which. Showed, you know, that's what I was most inspired watching tonight. If Drew Brees goes down, we're screwed. That's
oh, I recall that earlier.
Jason
in the show
did
too,
say
right?
that too. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know, they tried to get Cooks the ball again, coming from backup quarterback, so it wasn't the best effort that we can put forth. You know, that we will in the once the season starts, but you know, that 25-yard touchdown. He showed his speed, I thought.
Well, and the, like I was going to mention to Jeff earlier, the pivot, like he caught it anticipating, you know, it was a slow pass. He wasn't going to be able to go, and he just stopped on a dime, cut the other way, and the defender just totally whiffed.
Right. If you've watched some of the videos from practice, I mean, I've seen him, you know, they show, and that's it. He stops on a dime and then can excel.
It's kind of like how Blaine, when we used to play backyard football, Blaine, that's how Blaine was. No one
he's kinda,
could ever
catch him. He's kind of like a 19-year-old Blaine, not a 35-year-old
yeah,
Blaine.
Exactly. Yeah. He, yeah. Squirrely, I would say.
Oh. Squirrel nut zippers?
Yeah, you got Squirrely Cooks and Zippy Ingram. The Adventures of Squirrely and Zippy.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what this season's going to be.
Oh,
wow.
All right, and with that, let's move on to our second and final segment of the episode. It's an extra special. Fuck the Falcons.
Hey, kids. It's time to use the F word.
Fuck! Fuck living, fuck dying, fuck laughing, fuck trying, fuck this song, but mostly fuck you. Fuck love, hate, and friends, fuck following trends, fuck this song, can't wait till it ends. Fuck everything, but fuck you the most, fuck everything.
And so, yes, the Falcons debuted on Hard Knocks with Mike Smith's 1991 sandals Was he wearing socks with those sandals?
No, he was not wearing socks.
Maybe he should have been. But apparently that was the highlight of the episode that everybody took away from, which speaks volumes about what the Falcons have to offer.
Oh, there were several highlights. I started taking notes, but then, like, I think I got 15 minutes in, and I quit taking notes and just wanted to watch because it was just so incredible.
Too much.
Well, it was just so tough to watch.
Tough.
You know? I mean, yeah. How embarrassing is that? Anybody who watched the show, you know, they must have said the word tough literally 20 times in a 2-minute span. You know, I mean, and then they played the clip and mentioned about the hit last year on
Vaccaro.
Right.
Vaccaro's one hit ruined their entire season.
Right, you know, Matty Shitpants, and it just, oh my goodness, you're fucked already. The season hasn't started. I mean, if that's what they're worried about, one hit from the first game of 2013.
Well, but doesn't it sound too like he's asking them to almost be like the Raiders, which is going to backfire as well, and it did backfire. Look at how many fights they have in camp, and the previews for next week are he's like, oh, we can't have all this fighting. Yeah, well, you shouldn't have called for the toughness, asshole, because what you did is challenge guys' pride, and now that's all they're going to do is fight because they're trying to prove to you just how tough they are, you know? It's pretty tough to ask for toughness when you don't really want tough or you don't know what toughness is. And the other thing is when Mike Smith sat there in the beginning of the episode and tried to give his speech to his coaches and his speech to his players about being tough, it just wasn't convincing. Is it me?
No, he definitely was not convinced. It was like he was trying to convince himself.
Yeah.
But let me go through my first five notes that I jotted down.
The first five pages of notes.
Actually, I only have seven notes total because I stopped because there was just too much. Like it was overload. I couldn't. So my first note said tough about 100 times so far, and this was maybe 5 minutes in. My next note: tough, smart football. My next note: tough practices. My next note: tough. And then my next note in this batch, I love watching Mike Smith. I mean, that's from everything you saw from Mike Smith, from all the stupid bullshit, the interview with Pariah Jerry when he retired and he's sitting there in his sandals.
Oh,
it just looks like he's nervous and fidgety and doesn't know what to do. Like, you see him operate and you see what we've been able to see from Sean Payton, and they're just completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, it explains... I mean,
right. You're right. It explains everything. Like, Peyton commands the room, commands the audience. Mike Smith is trying to convince himself of anything. And he's totally non-believable, totally a fraud. I want him to be the Falcons coach forever.
And why did the lineman retire? I mean, I didn't he was there, what, 2005?
He got drafted, first-round draft pick in 2009.
Right, and he's retired 5 years later.
He got hurt a couple times. He never really panned out. He just didn't pan out. He's a bust. Simple as that. He's a bust.
And then we're talking about the fighting. Here's what got me watching the fighting that I've never seen. And, you know, we've all watched plenty of football and plenty of linemen and go at it or linebackers. I've never seen them close fist punch someone in a helmet because, you know, that just doesn't seem like a good idea. But,
in case you haven't noticed, this team isn't the smartest team out there.
Yeah, I mean, they really aren't. I mean, that, to me, showed a lot. Really, a guy's in a helmet, and he's just letting you punch him in the helmet with your clenched fist. Okay. Sure. You can hit me in the head when I'm wearing a football helmet. Just stupidity. Just stupidity in that. Bierman, this is just, you know, I didn't realize he was on a reality show. I've never
right, that
watched
his
it.
Wife was the stupid housewife of Atlanta. Yeah, that's absurd.
Right. So
I have a note on that one.
Of course, like, they have their own reality show.
Oh, yeah, when we're talking about the tough, and it's tough. Like, it must have been tough for Bierman's wife to recover from the sex change operation because she looks like a man.
With big tits.
That's part of the operation.
Just, and then the motherfucker William Moore.
It must be tough. Speaking of toughness, it must be tough for Harry Douglas to pretend he's not gay.
Must be tough for Harry Douglas to think he's not going to go broke in 5 years. with that house
and that,
for a third wide receiver, like, dude, you ain't that good.
Yeah.
And then on top of, you know, Douglas, the second I saw his, they showed his the front of his house. I'm like, oh, that's a big house. Who was that? Harry Douglas. I'm like, okay, this dude's going broke. But then they go to William Moore, who bought his house because there's a fucking palm tree in the inside of his house.
Yeah.
Palm tree with a waterfall in the pool. Which is one thing. You know, a palm tree on the inside of your fucking house, okay, you're a fucking moron. But then he's like, I always told myself when I'd made it, I was gonna own every pair of Jordan shoes, so just all the Jordans in the closet. I mean, you know how much it's like $250 for every pair of shoes in there. For what?
Now, is that I didn't get that part. I'm not into shoes, perhaps. But is that every shoe that comes out in a year, or that?
No. He's talking about every iteration of the Air Jordan shoe
that's
from
been 1986.
Current day all the way back to 1980, right. Whatever. Right.
Right. Wow.
You
okay.
All the different colors, all the versions. Like those motherfuckers are expensive. That's just wasted. Just bloop. Yeah, I'll just piss my money away. Bloop, there it is.
A fool and his money are soon parted, so.
Like, he's going broke, too. Him and Harry Douglas can go to the same counseling course when their careers are over. Just, it really stuck out that there was nobody really likable on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, at least.
Except maybe the white rookie linebacker who wear the weird hat and had the baby who isn't going to make the team.
And like you said, just watching Mike Smith interact with the players and... I don't know if I see Sean Payton doing that. Like you said, maybe the I don't know, an awkwardness or a forced.
It's fake.
Right,
it's
right, so fake. Right. A forced friendliness. It just it was.
It's
hard.
Fantastic to watch as a Saints fan. I'll say that.
Oh, goodness.
It might be, it might be boring to fans of the other 30 teams in the league, but for us. I think it's fantastic television. Even though it's the same old, Hard Knocks. Oh, we'll show the established veteran safety with the fucking palm tree in his house, but then we'll show the rookie draft pick getting to his fresh, clean apartment that's all white walls, and he's bragging about, this tub is huge. You know, it's just a regular tub in an apartment and whatnot, which is kind of standard, but it's fun because, I mean, fucking Falcons. You couldn't ask for a better... For a more sad sack franchise to get Hard Knocks.
Well, I wonder what they're going to do with the show. Are they going to show Devin Hester's fumble?
Drop? Of course. Well, yeah, they have to show highlights from the game. They'll definitely show it. Yeah, what was it? First touch, second touch of the season? Yep, fumbled. Whoop.
Well, and I made this comment, I believe, when it was announced that they signed him. Devin Hester was something in 2009. This isn't 2009 anymore. Devin Hester isn't relevant anymore. I'm not sure what even...
Oh, just like the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the purpose was of grabbing him. Definitely special teams, because he was never a wide receiver, and
he just wasn't a very good one.
Right, I highly doubt that it's improved as he's gotten older, so... I enjoy watching a... you're okay there, Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chokes on dick?
That's my Mike Smith impression.
But like you said, it will be entertaining to watch them fail and fall on their ass. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Man, it's going to be awesome.
All right.
It's a shame we only have 4 more weeks of it. I could go for a whole season of
I know. Well, I think it's clearly obvious, too, that they're distracted by the presence of the HBO cameras. And they're really trying as hard as they can to play up for the cameras, which I think is only going to serve to hurt them. So,
well, but they also realize they have to do it because their season's shot anyway. They have no shot to make
the
playoffs.
Right, right. They know this is their only...
This is it.
I mean... The team that goes for this kind of publicity knows the gig is up. The jig is up, whatever.
It'll be curious to see if Mike Smith lasts a season because I mean, I really think like they're going to be bad. I just don't see. They may score some points here and there.
Their offense is good enough to keep them.
Their offense is going to be okay, but their defense is going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Terrible. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Their offense is going to be terrible. I don't know why that made me think of that.
That's your that segment of the week. We squeezed it in.
Yeah. All right. So with that said, final thoughts, anybody?
It was good to not have any injuries tonight. That is the number one goal tonight. So. And Cook's boner.
Damon?
No, just nice to finally have football back. It's here, folks. We started. It's
And all of a sudden, it feels like it didn't take as long, though.
Oh, these next few weeks are going to take a long time.
Yeah, they're going to...
I'm going to relish it, because every year after football season's over, it's like, man, it feels like we just started. So I want it to feel like it takes forever.
Yeah, that is true. It does. It will be February before we know it, and we'll be in Arizona winning the Super Bowl. So.
That's right. That's going to be a fun time. Fun trip.
Yeah, I want to enjoy the ride. In the meantime, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Check us out on Facebook. Just search for Dome Patrol podcast. We are also on Twitter. We are at Dome Patrol PCast. And so tell all of your friends to listen to us on iTunes. Or if not, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Brandon Coleman donkeys.
Oh!
Good night, Hootat Nation.
There's much I confess.